What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lauda, what do you got?
I think this a new program that LAUSD has is actually pretty cool. So they're giving first graders, according to the story, 31,000 students in LAUSD, $50. They opened up a bank account for these first graders with $50 so they can start their college fund.
Cool.
And that's pretty
cool. That.
Because, you know, like for me, my parents never did that. Like,
no,
I
know.
Kids to do it, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah. No, cool. I actually think that's really smart because I do think that most people don't think of that until it's too late. And I think that even if – I'm telling you, man, even if you do – I would always recommend to people, like, you can do that there, obviously, or you can literally just go online and Google a 529 plan, and there's ones for each state. And you can put your money in there, and it's kind of like a fund, very similar to like a fund for your 401k, and it increases or it could decrease, but depending on the market. But generally, over, you know, many, 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 many years that you'd be saving for college, it generally appreciates at a pretty decent clip, and you can save money for your kids' college. And putting away any money for that would be smart, I believe, even if it's like 10 bucks a week, 20 bucks a week, 50 bucks a week, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just whatever you can put away. Don't drink coffee like we told Laura. That way she can get her own place. You know, whatever it is you got to do, make those little sacrifices because it'll pay off in the long run for sure.
But it is hard. I will acknowledge that. I mean, it's real easy to, hey, you know, take 10 bucks or 20 bucks or 100 bucks a month and put it into your kids' college fund. Like, I get it. It is hard, you know. But I will tell you from experience, take it from me, that when your kids get to the point where they're college age and you look at the accounts that you had set up when they were little kids and you contributed for a couple of years and then you kind of stopped because you needed a little extra money and you always thought you were going to go back and then you kind of never did. And then they're in college and you're like, wait a second, I got three of them all of a sudden. And you're like, man, I needed to do a better job of saving and it's just way too late. George, your advice is good advice. Laura, the story about 50 bucks to start this is awesome because if you start a kid at $50 at 6 or 7 years old and they never touch it over the next 10, 11 years, who knows what that $50 might be. So good on the LA Unified School District. That's great. Believe me when I tell you, I'm feeling the pain right now.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why you're lucky, right? One of the kids got, I mean, are you, did your daughter that's going to Tulane, is she like, she got a little scally or, you know?
Well,
you
she got like, you know, she got the first, you know, I want to say like maybe $8,000 in some kind of scholarship from the school. And then there's financial aid related and it's called FAFSA, you know, and then there's just, and there's grants and there's all kinds of other scholarships that she's applying to. But in the end, it's like I said to her, I'm like, listen, we may have to take out some student loans. And she's like, oh, I don't want to have student loans. I don't want to leave college after 4 years, and I don't want to have any debt. I'm like, I don't want that for you either. So you know what she said to me? Great, what? Then you take out the student loans for me. Right. Like, no. Like, wait, I don't want either of us to have student loan debt. And then I tried to convince her. I'm like, well, you know, there's some talk in the next few years that maybe all student loan debt will be forgiven. So maybe
let's rack it up right now.
Maybe that's the play, because if it all gets forgiven and we didn't take out a student loan, aren't we going to feel dumb? And I also actually explained to her, though, you know, sometimes when kids get out of college and they get their first jobs, sometimes depending on the company they go to work for, some of those companies will incentivize you to come to work for them by paying your student loans.
Yeah.
So that's not completely out of the ordinary. So I'm just
George, I agree.
Your advice is good advice. Parents, moms and dads out there, do whatever you can do. 10, 20, 30 bucks. It doesn't take the change out of your pocket every day. Put it in a cup in your bedroom. And at the end of the month, put that in your kid's college account. Anything you can do, because I'm telling you right now, I'm in this situation. I got three kids in school, and it's tough when you don't have a big, fat nest egg waiting for them to go to school. It's tough.
For sure.
Why don't 100%. You just say, I'm not taking out student loans for you?
Why didn't I say that I'm not taking out student loans for you?
Yeah.
Well, I said to her, I said, you may have to take out some student loans. And she said, well, I don't want any student loans. You take out the student loan for me, Dad, as if to say, you pay it.
Oh, yeah. My parents told me to F off when it came to that. Like, I paid for my tuition myself.
Same.
Like, I wasn't having my parents take out loans for me. You got to put your foot down and be like, no, it's your responsibility. You're grown up now. You're an adult. You can pay for it. Because if you can't afford it, you can't afford it, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. I'm a pushover, though, Lindsay. You know,
and
I can't
it's not
going to
get any cheaper, is the point. You
yeah, I was
saying?
Just telling Laura, I was like, my sister, her husband, they pay her husband's student loans, and he got a lot of them forgiven because he's in the military. But she said that his payments were like $1,200 a month with, you know, all the interest and all that. She said that the principal has gone down like $4,000 in like 5 or 6 years. Years.
That's crazy. I'm so glad. Like, I always had to, like, pay my way, and I never wanted to do student loans. And then this, when I went back to school, and I was like, they offered them to me. I was like, ooh, student loans. And I, like, declined the first year. And then this year, I was like, okay, I'll accept them. I never got them. And everyone's like, dude, don't. Like, don't grab it. Just let it go. So I'm like, okay, because everyone's telling me the principal on that is disgusting.
Oh, it's like a mortgage.
Biggest scam ever, yeah.
Nope, not doing it.
It's like a mortgage. It's crazy. So, all right, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. I mentioned earlier there's good news and bad news, and it's about the Dodgers. The good news. You want the good news or the bad news first?
I want the bad news.
So the bad news is David Price is still not pitched and won't pitch until Wednesday perhaps, because you and I were discussing, like, what the hell do they do? You know, the fifth starter, right? Like, because, you know, we expect Heaney to be the guy, right? And that, in theory, should be your fourth starter. Maybe a Danny Duffy comes in there and performs, although I don't know how quickly he'll be available to pitch. But he's a guy certainly that, you know, helped win a World Series for the Royals a number of years ago. Has had some arm troubles recently. I'm rooting for him big time. But, you know, David Price is the guy that Andrew Friedman obviously has a ton of experience with and a relationship with. So there's the idea, and he also makes $30 million, right? So the idea is, well, he has to be that guy at this stage of his career, and this can kind of be his final hurrah, let's call it. And, yeah, it just hasn't materialized yet. It's still early, but I'd like to see him get an opportunity.
Well, know? There's also a lot of talk, and I've been following – I don't watch spring training baseball. I don't know about the rest of you guys.
Oh, it's I like it.
Yeah, to me, it's kind of like NFL preseason football. I don't watch that either.
No, but you don't need to watch it like in its entirety. You don't like just even throw it on just for like a few innings?
Not really. I follow most of this stuff just on Twitter and on, you know, on different websites and whatever. But I had been reading a lot lately about Tony Gonsolin as being one of the guys who Dave Roberts thinks might be the fifth starter. Could be Andrew Haney.
Is it so, Haney or Heaney? I didn't play for the Angels last year.
I thought it was Haney. Haney, H-E-A-N-E-Y. There's been talk about him in there as well. Because of what you're talking about, George, with David Price not being what you would call built up quite yet to pitch, so he may not be ready for the start of the season. There's even the name Tyler Anderson being thrown around. So, I mean, there's a lot of names out there as those who are covering the Dodgers every day are trying to project who will make the fourth, fifth, particularly the fifth starting spot. And David Price's name is there, but, you know, like you said, he makes a lot of money, but he's not quite ready yet. And who knows if he will make
it. So the good news is Clayton Kershaw pitched 4 scoreless innings, and he's looked good. So
I really hope that's the case. I got to say, I am rooting for Clayton Kershaw the same way I'm rooting for an Anthony Davis. You know, it's such a shame to see a guy who's so good get knocked out because of injury. And then it happens, right? But no big deal. It's injuries. Okay, fine. You rehab, you get better, you come back. With guys like Anthony Davis and Clayton Kershaw, they're in, then they're out, and then they barely come back, and they try, and then they get hurt again. So I'm rooting for Clayton Kershaw the same way I'm rooting for Anthony Davis to get healthy and actually be healthy for a majority of a season, not in and out all year. Because that's when we think about the Lakers for right now. I mean, if Anthony Davis were healthy all year, how different might this season have been?
Probably different, yeah. Don't you
and
think?
If Clayton Kershaw would have been healthy last year in the postseason, how different might the postseason have been?
Oh, I mean, listen, for sure. I think it would have been different, too. I mean, you know, just after having gone through the experience of winning it, right, and pitching well, I think that, yeah, I think it could have been big for them, for sure. Especially against Atlanta, a team that we thought they were going to able to – we kept thinking, oh, they'll overcome it. They're down, they'll win it. They did it the last time, and then it never happened, you know?
Yeah, but I like your bad news, good news scenario. So bad news, David Price not quite ready, so not yet considered the fifth starter for a guy who's making a lot of money. And then the good news is Kershaw has looked good thus far. And so, all right, I like the bad news, good news. I'm a bad news, good news kind of guy, and I always start with the bad news. I rarely say, give me the good news first. I always want to have the negative and then uplift me with the positive. So thank you for the choice.
Yeah. You turn the negative into a positive like Pitbull?
That's exactly right. Like Mr. Worldwide would do it.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, coming up next, I'm stunned that you haven't taken grief over one thing you said today, other than from the ladies here in the house. We'll get to what that is in just a moment. Stick around. We're back here on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You like
I'm
Mariah?
Throw out some birth- I like Mariah, but I want to throw out birthday wishes to Vince Vaughn.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I want to say happy birthday to Vince Vaughn. My favorite Vince Vaughn movie, and there's been a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
But I'm old school like this, George. I still love Swingers. I love skinny Vince Vaughn. You know?
Yeah, old Swingers school. Is great. I mean, Wedding Crashers is fantastic.
Wedding Crashers is hysterical. And what's the one where
Dodgeball. It's a great movie.
Okay, but what's the one where he Where they go back to college and
old school.
Is it what's it called?
Old School.
Old School?
Yes. With Will Ferrell, he runs naked.
Yeah. Snoop-a-loop. Old School. What's the one with Rodney Dangerfield where he goes back? Oh, that's Back to School.
Yes.
Yeah, Back to School is different. Same theory, just different name of the movie. So happy birthday to Vince Vaughn, and happy birthday to Derek Carr, 31 years old. Wow, that happened fast.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it happens to all of us pretty fast if you think about it.
I know it does. I know. Before you know it, you look up, you're divorced, you got four kids, you're 50-something years old, and what the hell's going on here in life? How did that happen?
Yeah. The only thing, he was in Rudy, and I believe, wasn't he also in School Ties?
Wait, who was in Rudy?
Or was that someone else?
Wait, who was in Rudy? Vince Vaughn?
Yeah. It says here he was Jamie O'Hara.
Now, I don't know that. I don't remember Vince Vaughn and Rudy, but it would stand to reason because what was the other guy's name who played Mikey in Swingers? What's that guy's name? Everybody's going to hear the name and they're going to know it and they're going to hear it and they're going to go, oh, that guy, because you know him. He's a famous actor and he's now, I think, a producer, director as well. Guy played Mikey in Swingers.
Mikey,
yes,
you know
the
Mikey.
The guy who did John Favreau.
John Favreau. Yeah. So he's in Rudy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that Favreau and Vince Vaughn may have been in Rudy together, and maybe that's where they started this relationship that turned into Swingers. Perhaps. I'm just throwing that
perhaps.
Out
Perhaps.
That guy knows everyone, I feel like.
Who, Favreau?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Vince Vaughn was in an episode of Doogie Howser, M.D. We were just talking about that last week.
I don't recall that either.
He's the episode is called Sons of the Desert.
Mm-hmm.
And he played a guy named Mark.
You know, Mark, just this guy. And
yeah, but Wedding Crashers is hilarious. Old School is hilarious. What was the movie he did with your girl Jennifer Aniston where the breakup.
Was that's a good movie.
That's such a good movie.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's one
did
I
Did you not see that one, Cap?
Yeah, that one. You notice I didn't jump in with the, oh, that's a great movie.
You'd like it, Cap.
You would.
Oh, my God, your girl is in it, number one. Yeah. You know?
I love Jennifer Aniston.
You should definitely see that movie. To-do list for you, Cap.
Mm-hmm, okay. Yeah. Okay, I'll do it. What's it called?
Dodgeball, though, is, like, so good. Like, Dodgeball is one of the most – I know Swingers is very rewatchable, but Dodgeball, to me, is super rewatchable.
Yeah, Swingers is one of those movies that if it's on in the middle of the day on, like, network television with commercials and no cursing, I still might sit down and watch 30 minutes of it.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I might give it a
little time. Can't
get
me to watch anything with commercials and no cursing. Like, you can get me maybe commercials, but not no cursing.
Yeah. Now, speaking of cursing – you said before the break that I said something today and you said that you're surprised that I'm not taking a lot of heat for what I said.
Mm-hmm.
More grief,
now,
I've
said a lot of things so far today that I think I could maybe take some heat for.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, what is it that I said earlier today that you are surprised that no one's given me any grief about?
What I would say is that when... was it Lindsay or Laura? Who did the story about the
I did.
The birth control?
I did.
It was Laura?
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a pill now for dudes, yeah. a birth control pill. And you were like, nah, not for me, not doing it. And, you know, and Lindsay brought up the point, well, you know, you already have a vasectomy, and it's not really for dudes your age, probably. It's not age appropriate.
Well, she did say guys 18 to 50.
Right. You would fit in that category. You know that, right?
Well, I might not fit in it anymore, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You once did, but we all yeah. once did.
Right. A couple.
I mean, I still do, but yeah, but you do not. And I think that it was just, I was just stunned because I would much rather take a pill than have a surgery done, dude, and have to go with, you know, the nonsense of, you know, like putting, you know, ice in your, you know, what's, and, you know, I mean, dude, you just tell me I got to take a pill and that's it. It's over.
I can't believe
I just hate taking pills and I hate
really?
Taking pharmaceuticals. Yeah. Yeah. I do.
What
I
do you
do.
Mean
I don't...
you hate taking like, if you have a headache, do you go and get a leaf or like or Tylenol
I mean,
or Advil?
Put it this way, George. If it's going to take a lot, like it's going to have to be a massive headache for me
right.
to say, you know what, I'm
sure.
going to take something for it. You know?
Because you could always just drink some caffeine and sometimes it goes away or whatever. But like, or just eat, right? Maybe you're hungry. But yeah, like if it's something that's going for a while, like you're not just going to go and say, all right, I'll just get some. Or like if you hurt yourself, right? Let's say you twist your knee. Right, mm-hmm. but it's not like bad enough where you need to go to the doctor. But it's just like it's painful, a little painful. You just got to deal with it. You got maybe a little swelling. You know, you take pop a little Aleve, or maybe you don't do that.
I don't really do that. As a matter of fact, all right, here goes. You ready? So I was dealing with this little sciatic nerve issue down my left leg.
Sciatica, I got a sciatica.
I've got sciatic nerve problems. You know, like an old man, right? And I literally was on this flight, and I'm just in agonizing pain. And a friend of mine said to me, well, why don't you take something for it? And I'm like, well, what am I going to take? And they're like, how about an Aleve? And I'm like, okay, I never would have thought to take an Aleve.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't have any Aleve. And he's like, well, I have some right here. So he gives me an Aleve. And yeah. within like 10 minutes, the pain is gone. And I'm like,
I
wow,
almost spit out my water.
This Aleve is really good.
You're like wow. discovering Aleve for the first time in like 2022, is it?
Wow.
Because I don't generally take any sort of pills.
I don't either, but yeah. if you need it, if you're like in pain, sure.
But you see, I went to see my doctor. This is when I turned 50.
Yeah.
And all guys out there, when you turn
wait,
50.
Can we pause for 1 second?
Yeah.
Lindsay, what is your level of surprise if you had to assign a percentage that Scott Kaplan just like had that reaction to Aleve in 2022? Wow. Aleve, this stuff is really good.
I don't know. That one doesn't really surprise me that much. Not
oh.
at all.
Okay.
Because I feel like with Cap, it's like anything goes. And every time he tells us these like antidotes about him and his life, I feel like there's so many, like I don't know, like there's a different surprise around every corner that I feel like you can't really be surprised about anything he says anymore, right?
Laura, what say you?
Nah, man, that's like a good 60% that you should know that. You're 50
well,
years
often
old.
Do you guys, let me ask you a question. How often do you guys take over-the-counter pills for some sort of daily pain relief? Headache?
Daily pain
muscle
relief?
Problems.
No, no, absolutely not. I don't have pain every day.
Yeah,
what are you
talking I'm just
about?
Saying, like,
I would do anything for an Aleve right now. I've had a headache since
yes,
like 1:30, and I would do mm-hmm. anything for that. I probably take like ibuprofen or something at least 3-4 times a week.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right, so here's me, right? I was when I turned 50, I went for like the full-on physical where the doctor just does every exam they can do and they just really look at every part of your body. 50 years old, you know, you hear about colonoscopy and all these other kinds of things. I did it all, you know. So I go to this cardiologist, and he does a stress test and everything else. And here's what he tells me, George. He says, Scott, you have the heart of an Olympic athlete, okay? Just so you know here.
I'm
you
glad
are,
you left.
you literally have the heart of a guy who's a decathlete in the Summer Olympics, and he
get
is just there competing.
He did not say that
okay?
to you.
This guy, you're there to win, okay?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And he tells me that I've got this really strong heart, and my
yeah.
lungs are good. And he's
yeah.
like, you know, for 50 years old, he goes, you're really, really doing great, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, doc, thanks. And he said, but, hold on.
Uh-oh.
But I want to put you on two medications.
Okay.
And I said, well, what are you talking about medications? I'm not going on any kind of medications. For some reason in my mind, I felt like not being on a medication is like some source of pride for me. You know, right. Like I'm 50 and I don't take any medications. I know all these people, they're popping pills all day long. They got those pill things that say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They're taking them every day. Like I don't take any pills. I don't take any medications.
Yeah. I take some supplements. You take any supplements? Mm-hmm.
I do.
Okay, then you pop pills, bro.
I was going to say, you take pills then, man.
But I don't take them in pill form. I take them in liquid form.
Okay.
That's like saying, oh, I don't take medication. I take my cough syrup because it's cough syrup and not a
right.
pill.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally the same thing.
Oh, God.
All right, so here's what happens.
You're just
though.
Justifying it in your head.
But here's what happens.
Yeah.
So my doctor, my cardiologist says to me.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you say you have a cardiologist, when you say my cardiologist.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it sounds like you're getting old, right? You know?
Yeah. Well, you got to have a cardiologist. By the way, I had a, what's the name of the doctor that you see for digestion? What's the name of that doctor?
Guy who, because you got a little acid reflux.
Gastroenterologist.
Gastroenterologist. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Okay. I had one because I had polyps in my 20s.
Oh, wow.
My aunt had passed away of colon cancer, so. I was feeling really bad. I every time I ate, it felt terrible. So I went, and the doctor's like, you should go see a gastroenterologist. So I was like, all right, cool. And he's like, yeah, man, we should get you a colonoscopy done like ASAP. And I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah. So they had to zap the polyps. And then I had to do a colonoscopy every 5 years after that. And then I did my last one at 40, and then that doctor's like, it was here in LA, and he's like, I'm looking at your chart. I know you've been doing this every 5 years. He's like, you're totally clean. You're good. You don't have to do another one for 10 years.
Well, for all the guys out there that are fearful of getting a colonoscopy, especially when you turn 50 and that's when
great
you're really supposed
sleep,
to do it.
Bro. Great
it's
sleep.
It's fine. You're fine, guys. And listen, I know everybody gets freaked out. They're like, you got to drink this thing. You're going to be stuck on the toilet.
Yeah, you're going to poop a lot. Yeah.
It's not, for me, it wasn't that bad. Like I was dreading it because I'd heard about
it's
all the horror stories.
No, that part is bad.
Like, yeah, it wasn't bad for me. So I'm just kind of telling you. So anyway, so listen, so the cardiologist says to me, because I want to put you on two different medications. Mm-hmm. And I said, why? I don't get it. You told me I got the heart of an Olympic athlete. What do I need to go on medication for? Yeah. And he said, because I see 50-year-old guys in the emergency room on the operating table all the time. Because they're too macho and they're too cool and they don't want to take anything.
So what are the two meds? 10 years later, I still don't know what
they are. Yeah, I know. You've been telling me stories.
This is like an episode of Seinfeld.
I don't want to tell you. I just
ran this out.
You're like Kramer here. What's going on?
I don't want to be on these medications, but I'm on them. You ready?
What the hell are they?
One is for blood pressure.
Okay.
All right. And the other
one. Well, this
is
show probably doesn't help that.
Probably doesn't, right? I should probably take some right now. And the other one is for cholesterol. Now, my 15-year-old daughter, you know what she tells me?
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, don't forget to take your fat pills. That's what she calls them. She calls them the fat pills.
I feel like it's perfectly acceptable to be on both of those medications at your age. Just saying.
You do?
Yes.
Also, I mean, you could also, your diet can change.
Yeah, I was going to say your diet definitely has to change.
On both of those.
I think that's like where my cardiologist was like, so are you willing to give up steaks? And I'm like, not really. And he's like, how about bacon? I'm like, nah, not that either. He's like, all right, then you better go on this.
You got to eliminate trans fats, bro. Mm-hmm. And you know what you need to do? Just eat more omega-3 fatties, man.
I know, because my other doctor's like, dude, we need to get you eating a bunch of like fish oil pills.
Yeah, get some. No, not that, bro. Just eat salmon and stuff and fish. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the heart of an Olympic athlete is not going to be in need of cholesterol and blood pressure pills.
Yeah,
just saying.
You're
right saying.
You are looking at a man who has the heart, or at least did have the heart, of an Olympic athlete, okay?
Sneak in some almonds, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Get some good fats. Get some avocado in you. You know what I mean? Get rid of the trans fats. And, don't have red meat all the time.
Well, I don't have red meat that often.
Eat fish and add some whey protein. Do a little whey protein smoothie, bro.
All of these things are great advice. But when I said to the doc, I go, I'm out. I'm not doing it, man. I'm out on these medications. He's like, okay, I'll see you on the I'll see you in the ER.
I'll see you on the operating table.
We'll see you when it's Sedano and Beto. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the way it'll be. All right, we got a break.
All right, I'm going to go get my fat pills. Hold on.
All right, big deal or no deal in 3 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thank you, Christopher. All right, Linz, let it rip.
All right, and I just want to preface Big Deal or No Deal by saying thanks for bearing with me while I don't have, like, the best voice right now. I know that I, at least in my head, I sound very congested and stuffy because I've got some weird thing going on. I don't have COVID, though.
Hey, good news for you, Linz. You got a cold, and it's so great to hear about people getting colds nowadays.
No, it's not. It's the worst because I forgot what it was like to get sick because it's been so long. We've been wearing the masks and doing all the things for so long. And, you know, I know who I got it from. I got it from my neighbor who my dog plays with her dog, and I'm really mad about it. But anyway.
Yeah. No, yeah. But I've been hearing from a lot of people like, dude, I got a bad cold. I'm like, that's
good
news.
Remember? A couple months ago?
It's not good news. It's terrible.
No, yeah, but it's okay. Fun. Like, we're actually getting colds again, it seems like. You
I
know?
Would rather just not, you know, not deal with it. But anyway.
Yeah, I would agree. And also, you sound totally fine. Like,
I didn't notice a difference.
I've also,
I thought you just had a headache. I just had a headache because, you know, it's just cap.
Oh, because, well, and I mean, it did
she's
start.
She's just mad at me.
It did
she's
start when I was doing Mason in Ireland because I'm doing their show all week. So.
Oh, you did do a double dip. Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Bergman's getting some in Costa Rica.
I don't know. I saw him on a plane with another dude. I mean, I don't know what the deal is, you know?
It's a brocation.
It's brocation, bro.
Yeah. Okay. He's got a wingman with him, you know? Let him live.
Yeah.
Live and
all right,
let
what's
live.
Next? All right,
so
Linz, what's first?
Speaking of living, Tiger Woods has not officially ruled out playing in the Masters next week. And according to a report, Woods and his team are flying to Augusta National this week, and they're reportedly going to walk the course before making a decision on playing. So in February of this year, Woods explained that he still has, quote, a long way to go in his recovery process, but he also said that he does plan to play on the PGA Tour again. Is this report a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
I mean, I think it's a big deal anytime there's any news about Tiger Woods. So I think it would be incredible just to see him on the course. I just think that obviously people have to temper their expectations if he even gets on a course. If we get to that point, just expect that it's not going to be pretty. And just the fact that he's able to walk again, and the fact he's able to take a course again and that he's able to play in any way, shape, or form professionally should be viewed as a huge accomplishment considering where we were a little over a year ago or whatever it was now.
I'm going to agree, big deal. But I remember saying that day, and maybe it wasn't exactly the day of the accident, but I was like, you know what he's going to do? He'll get his body back together. We'll see him play again. I really believe we'll see him win again. And the reason I say that is because I think he'll work so hard and he'll be so hungry to prove the doubters wrong again. But one thing about Tiger Woods choosing to try to play in the Masters, George, are you following at all the story about Phil Mickelson?
No.
Okay. Well, then I won't go deep into it. I'll just say this. Tiger Woods going to Augusta National to try and play while Phil Mickelson is sitting at home somewhere trying to hide from the world, it is just another Tiger Woods shot and pile on of Phil. I don't know if you guys saw this a few weeks ago. Phil Mickelson had sent out this thank you.
Yes.
Like, hey, thanks, everybody. Because of you, I made all this extra money because I'm like the number one media influencer on social media on the PGA Tour. And then Tiger Woods sent out like two eyeballs and he went, oops. Because Tiger Woods played in one event last year with his kid, and he was the number one social media influencer. And Tiger Woods got like an $8 million bonus as a result. And Mickelson thought that was his money, but it was Tiger's. I'm telling you, Tiger Woods is loving piling on Phil Mickelson right now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to that story.
I think, to Sedano's point, it'd be awesome if he plays. I don't think anyone would even expect him to like make the cut, really, necessarily. But just the fact that like he's going to be able to go out there and tee it up, that'd be great to see. Great to see. All right, so next one. Whenever Major League Baseball wants to experiment with a possible change to the rules, they usually implement it in the minors first. And the newest experiment is the move of second base, which is going to move slightly closer to home plate during the 2022 season. According to The Athletic, starting in the second half of this year, baseball is going to move second base inward, so it's going to be closer to first base and third base by about 13.5 inches. Is this a big deal or no deal, Cap?
I'm going to say no deal. And I'm going to say that because at this moment, it's the first I'm hearing of it, and frankly, I don't get it. Are you moving second base closer to home, like so straight at home, and therefore it becomes closer to first and third? Like you're moving it just straight in towards the grass of the infield?
Correct.
I'm going to say those 13.5 inches on both sides are not a big deal.
Okay. Sedona?
I don't think it's a big deal, but I feel like the audience of that sport will think it's a big deal. Am I wrong to think that? Just based on like they overreact to everything?
Yeah, but do you think that we would notice the difference between how a guy gets from first to second or how a guy gets from second to third or second to home because of the 13.5 inches? It's a foot.
It's over a foot. Yeah. It's kind of a big space, just like the bases being bigger. I can see people being like, oh, are we really going to notice a difference? I feel like you can see a difference when you look at them.
Yeah, I'm with Linz. I mean, I don't care. Like, it doesn't make a difference to me. But I know that this is the sport of purists in a lot of ways, okay? So I feel like there's going to be backlash to that, I would say.
As always in baseball, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got to do something. Considering, they can't put the sticky stuff on the balls anymore. They can't juice. They can't do anything that they used to be able to do. So they figure, well, no one's ever going to break these records or be able to hit the way they used to unless we start changing some things. Makes sense.
What do they think is going to happen with 13.5 inches on either side? Are they going to see more steals to second? Are they going to see more second to home?
I think the idea is it's going to help the offense in some way, like that it's going to help score more runs or help, get more steals, make it easier to steal. I think that's the idea.
I'm trying to figure it out because like in the NFL, just as an example, when they moved the PAT from 20 yards to 32 yards, PATs in the NFL went from 99.9% to probably like 92%. So there was a significant change in the number of points after touchdown scored. So it impacts the game. But I'm not sure how this would impact the game. Would it make it more offensive? Would it make it more scores, more runs, more
maybe
steals?
Maybe it has something to do with banning the shift. There's all kinds of things I'm sure they're
trying to. Yeah, that's true. I'm not familiar enough with the nuances of baseball like that to know what it would increase or decrease perhaps.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll when we have Blake Harris on when the season starts, we'll ask him or anyone else that we have on to talk baseball. So there you go.
All right, so last one. A cryptocurrency island is being constructed in the South Pacific off the coast of Australia and Papua New Guinea.
I saw this.
Yeah, it's called Satoshi Island. It's being marketed as a paradise for cryptocurrency users. Mm-hmm. All payments will be made in cryptocurrencies, and citizenship, land ownership, and more will come in the form of NFTs. So far, more than 50,000 people have applied for citizenship and residency on the island, with citizenship to Satoshi Island costing $130,000. For you personally, is this crypto island a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
I mean, it's a big deal, but I mean, I'm not. I mean, maybe I'll visit, but
You should be the mayor.
No, I'm good. I don't need, I don't have laser eyes on my avatar on Twitter. I'm good. Like, I'm good just like in, I'm good enjoying the crypto life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good with that. That's how I'll leave it at that. But, yeah, it is a big deal because everything becomes a big deal now when it comes to crypto and Web3 and all that stuff. So this would be no different. Just like when El Salvador, they're doing their Bitcoin mining off of, like, a volcano's energy or something like that became a huge story. So anything that involves that will become a huge story.
I'm going to go the opposite direction here and say no deal.
Because you don't care.
No, it's not that. It's just that.
That's usually your reasoning. That's why I brought it up.
No, it's not that I don't care. It's just that I know I won't be moving there, and I won't be living there, and I won't be spending $130,000 for citizenship. Now, if I have a random $130,000 sitting around, I mean, I suppose maybe there's a country club I might join or maybe a boat that I would buy, but I don't have $130,000 just kind of sitting around. But
yeah.
Well, it's going to be a big deal when I become the queen of cryptocurrency
now,
island.
Now, if that happens, now then it for me, it becomes a big deal. But right now, I feel like if you're super into crypto and you want to live amongst people that are also really into crypto, I feel like a lot of people went to Puerto Rico for that exact reason. You know, that and there's the whole 4% tax issue.
Yeah, you know? Only are paying the 4% tax as opposed to the whatever you pay the federal government and then obviously whatever state tax you would pay in your local state. So, yeah, it's just a 4% tax, which has led people to move there, to your point, Cap. But not, I mean, listen, I don't think anybody, not everybody can pull off moving to Puerto Rico.
No, but there is a big crypto community of people. Because of that 4% tax, they're like, you know what? Right. I'll go down and I'll live in Puerto Rico for however long it takes. And
6 months in a day. Yeah,
yeah, but isn't there also a time period of you have to be there a certain amount of time so that the 4% like carries over? Anyway.
Oh, I don't know whatever the specifics, but it's not just crypto. That started way before crypto. That started with traditional finance people.
No doubt about it.
In Puerto Rico.
But the crypto people got into it, and they seem to have taken to the island of Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And so it kind of sounds like, you know, they're. And by the way, where's this island, Linz?
It's off
Papua
the
New
coast
Guinea.
Of, yeah, Australia and Papua New Guinea.
And is it currently inhabited by anybody?
I don't think so.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it's like Lost,
doesn't
basically.
Doesn't really say.
Yeah, right.
All right, we're done here. That's Big Deer, No Deal each and every day at 6:30-ish. We're back in a minute and 45 seconds. One last segment to go.
Hey. Under my umbrella, umbrella. Hey.
He loves that Bill Oram drop. Yeah, it's a great song.
And do. Yeah.
Are you doing it?
Yeah, because I don't know all the words, you know?
You don't? It's a very simple song.
Yeah, well, I don't know all the words. Other. I like the Kids Bop version, too.
You can stand under my umbrella. Ella.
Hey.
No, not hey.
Umbrella. A. Oh, it's A, not hey?
Yes.
It's a silent H?
Yes.
A. Not hey or hey.
No, it's like A-Y-E. A.
A. Not hey.
Yeah.
I do love this song.
It's a great song.
Anybody going to be celebrating tonight National Weed Appreciation Day?
Not tonight. I have. I've been clean per se, for lack of a better phrase, for a long time. I've been. I'm just taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
Not for any other reason other than I just want to take a break.
I need to do that myself. I've got a life insurance policy exam. You know where they take urine and blood. And last time they did that, they were like, do you store an entire dispensary inside of your body, or what's going on here?
Did you tell them about your blood pressure medication, too?
Yeah. I have to admit that now. I've got to admit. They're like, are you on any medications? I'm like, yeah, this and that. And they're like, what's it called? I'm like,
pills.
I don't know. Fat pills. That's right. Fat pills is what I'm on. So, but does, I can see
does
a
Rachel
celebration.
Know, what does Rachel say of the fat pills?
She is aware of both pills.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to have a huge problem with it, which is interesting because I once dated a woman. This is pre-Rachel, post-marriage. I once dated
Rachel.
A woman. Yeah. That's right. I dated a woman that was on a lot of medication, and I know this is going to sound judgmental and weird, but it kind of was a turnoff. Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah. It was kind of a turnoff.
That's kind of that's a very mean thing to say.
I know. It's true.
Yep.
You're right.
Very mean.
It is mean. Yep. But listen, I'm honest at least. You know, it's like earlier when you were talking about
that doesn't
the
make
male.
It less
Thank
mean.
You. I was like, it doesn't not make it less of an you being a jerk.
But you can lie and be a jerk, or you can be honest and be a jerk. And
well, you lie all the time, so I'm going to start a counter now.
You do lie, bro.
You
know, oh, my God. Laura, what did you lie about a little while ago? What was it again?
No lies.
The heart of an Olympic athlete.
And, oh, yeah, yeah.
I and love what Lindsay said.
And then he tells the whole story, and Lindsay's like, I don't know if that sounds like someone who has the heart of an Olympic athlete.
Just telling you what my doctor told me, guys. I can only tell you what the doctor
what
reported
What he said
to
or what you think he said. Yeah. There's a difference.
That's true. I think that's what he said, and I'm almost sure that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not what he said, then I'm lying, but I'm not.
Did what did Gavin Newsom say about it when he texted?
You know, I haven't checked my phone to see if he's texted me at all.
Or Canelo. Or Diplo. Canelo.
Who else?
Oh, Diplo. Yeah. Diplo. How's Diplo?
What's up, Dip? Yeah, yeah. What's up, Dip? When's that new joint going to drop? What's up, Dip? Diplo.
Did you watch him at Ultra this weekend?
Ultra? What's Ultra?
Ultra Music Festival.
Nah. I don't know about it. Hmm. I do have, there is a big music festival, though, coming up that I'm going to be going to. I went last year for the first time.
Yeah.
And I want to go again this year. And it's in May. I got to figure out what it's called. Anyway, I'll get there.
I got to figure out what it's called, but
yeah,
I'm
I can't
go.
Remember what it's called. Beach Life, I think is what it's called.
Oh, yeah, in Redondo.
Yeah. Beach Life Festival. Yeah. I went last year for the first time, and it was great. And this year, they've got Steve Miller Band, which is kind of like one of my favorite old schoolers. Sheryl Crow, which I really like.
All I want to do is have some fun.
Yeah. I got a feeling I'm not the only one. Oh, Carl Denson's Tiny Universe on Sunday at Beach Life Festival. He's one of my favorites. He's actually been on tour with the Rolling Stones playing saxophone for them.
I mean, I know you were very mean just a moment ago, but you were very sad this weekend because the drummer of the Foo Fighters passed away. I saw
you know
that.
What? I'm going to tell you, man, it was a weird weekend because on Friday, when I found out that the drummer of the Foo Fighters had died, I was like, oh, my God, that's like the craziest thing.
Well, he's like your age.
Well, he's 50, right. And he's from Southern California. I mean, he's from here in I want to say, I'm not sure if he's from L.A. or Orange County, but, I mean, this is a kid who used to, you know, work in a local record store, and then he got a drumming gig on the road with Alanis Morissette, and he was gone, and then he became the lead, you know, the drummer for the Foo Fighters, and then he's quite a charismatic lead man as well. Yeah. But in the movie Studio 666, when Dave Grohl throws the cymbal at him and cuts his head in half and he dies, it's like that was like the funniest part of the entire movie. And now here's this 50-year-old guy dead. And I was reading today about all the different substances that they found inside him. Just
say he is
terribly
a rock
tragic.
Star, so he doesn't live like a normal 50-year-old would, you know?
No,
right.
And
that's true.
I guess he had a heroin thing 20 years ago. And so, yeah, it's just that's a sad story, man, because this guy, you talk about a charismatic drummer who could put down the sticks and then grab the mic and be a lead singer. He was great. Just that's sad. You know, it was a weird weekend, George, you know, to go from Friday with that situation and then Sunday with the slap. I know you all of a sudden jumped on an airplane to go to Chicago for some college basketball. How'd that all come together?
Yeah, I was watching Miami play Iowa State, and, you know, obviously I have a lot of love for that school for many, many reasons. And I was sitting there watching it with my daughter, and my buddy had gone, one of my childhood friends had gone with his wife and kids to the game on Friday at the United Center in Chicago. And I said to him, if they win this game and they get to their first Elite Eight ever, I'll go to Sunday's game. And he's like, all right. He's like, I'll get us tickets and we'll figure it out. I'm like, all right. So I gave him a number for a guy I had for tickets to just in case. And I booked the flight. Now, it was crazy because as I was watching the game, there were several direct flights as the game was still on out of L.A. And then all of a sudden, you know, a few seats at least on each flight. And then all of a sudden they were all gone. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to have to try to, like, connect. And can I get, you know, like, I got to go on Saturday now. Like, I can't go on Sunday morning anymore. So I said to my daughter, I said, do you want to go with Daddy? Daddy's going to go watch the game. She's like, okay. So I was like, let's do it. So I booked two tickets, and we flew through Minneapolis, and we had lunch in Minneapolis, McDonald's, of course.
Wait, so did your daughter get to fly first class?
She did.
That's a flex.
Yeah. Wow. Total.
What a baller. She flew first class before Alan Sliwa did.
Really?
Ouch.
George, why not, though, for a flight with a 7-year-old?
I had points, too, so there's
No, that's okay, but I'm just curious. Why choose to do the first class rather than go, hey, it's me and my 7-year-old. You know what? We'll sit in the coach. It's fine.
Oh, if I had a choice. Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I'm flying. I have tons of points. Why wouldn't I use them?
Yeah.
I did have to pay for some of it. But yeah, like why wouldn't I do it?
I have a buddy of mine who hit it out of the park. He became extremely wealthy. But by the way, his wife, she's a billionaire.
And by the way, Lynn, she's actually flown first class before.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so his buddy of mine.
That part is not a first experience.
His wife started
the
company Spanx. You guys know this product, Spanx?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So she's a billionaire, this woman. So he's on this flight recently. He's posting on social media, and I hit him up. I go, yo, man, I go, not to be a jerk. I'm just curious. I mean, why are you and your kids in coach? I'm just curious. And he said to me, he goes, dude, these are my kids. He goes, and I could be putting them on private jets right now, or I could be flying first class, but I don't want them to see that. I actually want them to just kind of see what it is to be a normal person. I'm like, you know what? I got a lot of respect for that. However,
I mean, that,
if I
that's
were in
also
your shoes,
cool, but yeah. I think everyone does things differently. Like, I like to travel. I make good enough money. I also have travel a lot. I get points. I use them. I will also say this. My kids will drive a used car, though. Like, they're – because you – listen, every kid I know crashes their first car. I'm not buying them a new car to crash it. Like, that'll be it. So, I mean, that is just – we all have different places we draw
the line. If I were in his shoes – okay, my kids, we're all flying private.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not even a question mark.
Yeah.
But I understood. I liked his grounding of the kids. It's cool.
I ground the kids in other ways. Like, don't waste food. You know what I mean? Like, you know, not everybody has what you have. Like, at least my daughter at 7, she gets that stuff. My son at 3, he doesn't understand anything. So he's just a maniac who runs around the house tackling everything. So
he's so cute, though.
By the way, breaking news. We were talking about Crypto Island earlier. Vietnam is creating a framework to legalize Bitcoin. There you go. All right, Kaplan, excellent work as always.
Yep, I'll see you on Wednesday, everybody.
All right, see ya. Linz and Laura, excellent work as well. We will talk to you on Wednesday. See ya.